You give me do me a favor. Could you give me a ride to my father's house? Well, she said, okay, what you want to go over there for? You know, your father don't want to know nothing about you. I said, just don't worry about it. Just take me over there. And it was true. My father didn't want nothing, you know, he didn't want nothing to do with me because I messed up so many times that, you know, the man got cold, you know, got cold hearted, you know? And so she took me over there. I remember I knocked the door and he opened the door and he sees me and I tell him, look, man, can you give me one more chance? Can you help me? And he looked at me and it's like he didn't have no words. He just said, just come in. And he picked the phone up and he made two phone calls. And those two phone calls, he found me somewhere to live, some rooms, and he found me a job. A friend of his that had a mechanic shop, he called him up and the guy asked him, do your son know anything about mechanic? And I said, no, you don't know nothing about mechanic. The guy said, don't worry, but just bring him anyway. He could do a little something here, cleaning or something like that. A friend of his had a apartments, rooms, and he gave me a room for $20 a week. That was good, you know? So I understood that God was opening doors. At that moment, I said, wow, I was happy because I wanted to change my life. Now, I was testing God. I said, God, you know, the night before, I told him, you know, you need to take me out of here. And I was seeing there was a little door, but it was opening. You see? And I went through that door. It was a house in a mountain in Florida next to the oranges. You know, they used to pick up oranges on there. So these rooms, this house had about 30 rooms. And it was there for the Mexicans when they come to pick oranges and stay there. But in that moment right there was no Mexicans in the house, so the house was empty. And it was 30 rooms, and I was living in one of them. And it was in the mountains, so there was no streets around it. And it was creepy out there, you know? I used to be afraid. I used to go in there, and there was nobody around. I remember I was there for a week. I was there for a week. And during that week, I shout to the Lord. You ever heard that expression? The Bible says, you know, you pray. Yes, you could pray. But when you shout, in Spanish, they call it clamar, saying that, you know, you just not only talking to the Lord, you just bragging with him. You know, God, help me. You know, I'm in a situation here. Do something for me. And I brag. I shout to the Lord. I said, God, help me. You know, take me out of here because I'm in this room right here now in this apartment. Yes, and now you took me out of that house over there. But now I'm in this mountain here and there's nothing around here. Do something for me, God. Take me out of here because I'm going crazy. I had no TV. I had nothing. I don't have no food or nothing. It was just a room with a bed. I was grateful to God that I had somewhere to sleep. But I felt lonely. And there's nothing worse than feeling lonely. I felt lonely. Anybody here felt lonely before? Is that a good feeling? Have you ever felt lonely for a few months? And you're like, you got to go home. There's nobody home. And you're like, you don't want to go home. You want to be around people. And that's the way I felt. My mother has sent me about $1,000 for me to pay for a lawyer. Because with my record, they were going to lock me up. So I needed a paid lawyer. A public assistant lawyer that was not going to work for me. You know, I needed a good lawyer that was going to represent me and try to help me with that case when the cop split my head open. Because what he did, it was police brutality, you know. So I was trying to, you know, at least don't get no time. Hey, I ain't going to get no money out of you, but at least don't put me in jail for something that I didn't really do, you know, because he didn't have to use that excessive force on me. So she sent me this money, and I remember I went to court, and my lawyer told me, look, Juan, I need $2,000 more. And I said, I already gave you $1,000. You said you was going to, but $1,000 was good. And she said, no, I need $2,000. Either that or I can't take your case. So I said, wow. She said, well, if you can't pay, I'll reimburse you $700. The other $300 is for the times I represented you. And I said, okay. And I took the money, but I wasn't happy. I was, you know, why, you know, I'm going back to jail. You know, this lady can't represent me. So I take the money, I put it in my pocket, and I go to my job. I'm frustrated, depressed, and this lady comes up in the garage where I used to work. As a matter, and I skipped this, but the guy in the garage used to pay me $200 every month. So I really couldn't pay. I couldn't afford an apartment. Only $200 a month. That being in food, you know, I wasted in food. And so this lady comes up and she starts talking to my boss, and she tells her, "Look, I got some apartments right here. If you know anybody that's interested, you know, let me know." And I heard her, and I wanted to get out of that little room that I was at. So I asked her, "Look, can I see these apartments?" She said, "Yeah, come on." And I go to I go with her, and she opens the door, and there was this nice apartment, nothing big. It was just perfect for one person or a couple, just married, right? It was they got the kitchen right here. You had the living room set, and then you had the bathroom. You got the entrance right here. You had the room, and then you had the bathroom right here, and then you had this nice little porch with screen doors, and there was a lake in front of it. And then, you know, and the floor in the room had a rug, and the rest was, you know, tile. And it had central air. I was happy. I was like, wow, I want this. So I tell her, "Look, I only have $700. See how God works in mysterious ways? Them $700 that the lady gave me, that I didn't want them, God was giving them back to me so I could take the apartment. You see? God works. See how God works? Sometimes we understand God's mind, but we just got to go with the flow. I gave her the $700. She said, "Look, it's more, but I'll deal with you." Now I go back to the garage and I tell the guy, "Look, I got the apartment." He tells me, "Well, Juan, you know, I only pay you $200, and this is for a few months because you're going to have to get something else because I can't afford you here because you don't, especially you're not a mechanic, so you're going to have to do something. How are you going to pay for the apartment?" So now he put me against the wall again. You know, I'm in a situation like, yeah, you're right. Well, you know what? The same guy that was, "How are you going to pay for the apartment?" He's the one that paid it. You see, God, you know, God did something that he paid for the 3 months. And he didn't get mad at me, nothing. He just paid for the 3 months. That's what God did. After them 3 months, Alexandra calls me up from Puerto Rico, and she asked me if I want to spend Christmas over there. And this guy... my boss told me, "Look, I'm going to New Jersey. I'm taking 2 weeks off. You could take 2 weeks off too. Do whatever you want to do with it." And I said, "Okay, cool." So Alexandra calls me and she invited me to Puerto Rico. Spent Christmas over there. She was a friend of mine's. I was lonely, right? And she's paying for the ticket and everything. So I'm like, okay. So I told her, "Yeah, I'll go." All of a sudden, this guy, my boss, comes up to me and tells me, "Look, I'm not going to Jersey. I need you to stay here with me." And I said, "Man, Mike, you know, you knew about 2 months ago, man, that I was going to go to Puerto Rico. That my friend bought me the ticket, and I wanna see her." "Well, if you go, you're fired," he told me. So now I was in a decision right here. You know, I really want to see Alexandra. So I left, and he fired me. I believe that was an excuse that he had. He just wanted to get rid of me, and he used that as an excuse. And I said, "Well, you know, let it be God's will." And, you know, the depending on God, that's what God wants you. You know, sometimes you need to hang the gloves up and let God work, you know. And I left. And I remember I left and I said, "I'm not going to think about the apartment. God is in your hands." I came back from Puerto Rico. I didn't have no job. I had to pay the rent 2 weeks after that. I had 2 weeks to pay the rent. I got there a Sunday. A Monday morning, I woke up and I took a bike that I had, and I just started riding around, and I passed by a construction site, and I asked, "You hiring?" "Yeah, you want to start working?" I started working and I started paying my rent. Now, the food was another issue because I didn't have enough money to pay for my food. You know, go to the store and buy groceries. Well, people from the church, not even people from the church, just people just came around and gave me, "Look, man, here, you know, here's this grocery here." And you know what? That grocery, I used to eat a lot. I still do. And that milk and them eggs and them, you know, I'm a vegetarian now, but back in the days, I used to eat all kind of stuff. But pig, because I already was a 7-day Adventist, right? And that food used to last. And I was like, wow, it used to last. Now, I didn't have no furniture in the apartment, no furniture at all. I didn't have nothing. I didn't have money to, I couldn't afford it either. The money that I was making, it was enough to pay the rent of the apartment. And can you believe that God is good? You know, one day, this lady comes and calls me up, and she's a Baptist from a Baptist church. And she calls me up and says, Juan, look, she was my probation officer. And she got tight with me. She was looking at me through the eyes of Jesus. Even though she was a probation officer, she was helping me. And she calls me up, Juan, I have a bed. I bought a bed in Salvation Army, and I want to give it to you. Come pick it up. Find a way to pick it up. So I went over there and I picked the bed up. Nice bed, clean. I'm like, wow, I got a bed now. I'm not sleeping on the floor no more, right? It's better than sleeping on the floor. This guy, a friend of mine, calls me up. I said, Juan, look, I know this lady that she's selling some sofas, but let's go over there. Maybe I know her. Maybe she could give them to you. So we go over there. I know the lady. She's Catholic. And the point is that why I'm saying this denomination is because there's good Christians out there that don't know the truth. And it's our responsibility, your responsibility to go tell them the truth. So we need to wake up and have that passion of Christ. Let them know. You know? But they still love God. And she told me, look, man, you like the sofas? I sat down on the sofas and she said, you like them? And I said, where they at? She said, you're sitting on them. I didn't believe it. Because they were brand new. These sofas were 2 years old. Her daughter bought her a set of leather, and she was going to sell these in $700 or $800. And she said, because we in Christmas, I'm going to give them to you. She just gave me the sofas. And I got a bed. Now I got two sofas, and they were white. And I know they were new because they were clean. And they were white. They're brand new. And she had a cover on top of them and everything. He said, look, they're brand new. Look, I saw them. I have my wife as a witness right here. They were brand new. They were good. They were better than the ones we have now, as a matter of fact. And I bought these. And I got the sofas there. This other lady comes up and says, well, I want to give you a frame, you know, with some painting. You want it? I said, yeah, I'll pick it up. And I went to pick it up, and the frame, everything, it was the same color as the sofas. See, God is fashion too. Yeah, he got everything under control. You see the sofa and you see the frame and everything. It was just like, it was like, wow, you know, this is kind of same color and everything, the same color details and everything. I remember it was some flowers in the sofas and in the frame there was some flowers too and stuff like that. This other guy came around and said, look, I got some tables. You want tables? The table was the same color as the sofas, white. Yeah. A brother from the church came around one day to visit me, and he goes in the house, and I had a little TV about this big. And he goes in the house and he looks at the apartment. He said, "Well, man, this is a nice apartment. You got it cleaned up, you know." I said, "Yeah, you know, you live by yourself." I said, "Yeah, I live by myself." He thought, you know, it was so clean that he thought the woman lived there or something. It's just that I was raised like that, right? Even though I was raised in the projects, my mother used to be Mr. Clean, you know. And so he invited me to church. He invited me to his house next Sabbath. He said, "Juan, I want you to go to my house and we can have lunch after service." And I said, "Okay." So I went to his house, and he had a huge house, nice house in Florida. And I remember I sat down in the living room after we ate, and he had bought a brand new TV, and he said, "Look, I just bought this TV right there, but this TV that I have right there was a 36-inch right TV." And he told me, "I had that for 2 years, 3 years, something like that." And you like it? And I said, "Well, it's nice, yeah." He said, "Well, go ahead, it's yours. You can have it." Said, "As a matter of fact, I'm gonna give it to you with the whole stand and everything." So now I had the TV. this lady just right there next to my I think it was my neighbor. I think she lived like two apartments away. She one day I came out of my I was coming out and she looked at me and said, "Hey, how you doing, neighbor?" I said, "How you doing?" She said, "You need a DVD?" And she gave me a DVD. So now I have a DVD. And this other person came and she said, "You need a VCR?" And they gave me a VCR too. I had TV, I had VCR, I had DVD, I had living room set, I had bedroom set. There's some few things missing still. I ain't finished. I had forks, I had cups, everything was given to me. The whole apartment, the whole crib was hooked up by the Lord. Amen. That's the power of God when you test God. The little money that was coming in my pocket, I was giving God offerings and tithes. And I was just a brand new baby. I was just baptized. I lost the job in the construction site, and I don't have no job. I'm only about 4 months3 months in the church. I lost my job. I said, "God, here I am in the same situation again. I'm still here. I'm depending on you." So I went to this agency to get a job, and I sat down. The lady said, "Yeah, you know, I got a good job for you." I said, "Okay, you're going to drive a forklift, $10 an hour," and I was in Central Florida. In Central Florida, the cost of living is a little cheaper than Miami and Orlando and Kissimmee. So $10 was not that bad. So I was like, "Okay, good." In my mind, I was, "Praise the Lord." And she tells me, "You need to work 1 weekend. You're going to be 1 weekend on, 1 weekend off." You know what that mean, right? I got to work on Sabbath. So that was a good test right there. It was like, you know, there's a rock right there in the middle right now. What I'm going to do? I'm going to trip over it. I'm going to jump in and just keep on walking. Well, I jumped. I said, "I can't take that job." And she looked at me and she said, "Are you crazy? How are you going to pay your rent?" And I said, I don't know, but I can't take that job." "Why? Give me a reason why." I said, "Well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and we believe in the fourth commandment." And she laughed at me. She gave me a smile. She said, "You crazy." And I said, "Well, all right, thank you anyway." I left, and as I'm opening the door, she calls me up. She said, "Juan, come over here." She said, "Sit down." I sat down, and she told me, "Look, there's a job opening here for Walmart. It don't pay as much at this job, and it's only for 2 weeks. After the 2 weeks, you out on the street again." And I said, "Okay, I'll take it." "Well, it's overnight." I said, "Don't worry about it, I'll take it." I took the job, and there was no possibility of me staying in that job because they were doing a remodeling the store, and after they remodeled the store, 2 weeks, everybody out. There was about 30 of us, and from all them 30 of us, everybody left but me. I kept the job. I kept the job, as a matter of fact, for 2 more years, a year and a half. You see, when you test God, the Bible said he will open the what? The windows of heaven, the storage of heaven, and he will pour blessing upon us until we can't handle it no more. Now, transportation, that's another $20. That's another issue. I didn't have no cars, right? So God touched my father's heart, and he had a Nissan over there, 89, and he gave it to me. He gave me the car. Well, if I tell you my father, that's like, okay, that's your father. Now, check this one out. The guy that gave me the TV, he calls me up one day, and he tells me, "Juan, I got a business proposition for you. I want you to come to the house, get some dinner, and we'll sit down, we'll talk." He was comfortable. He had money. He was a manager in an airplane company. His wife was a dentist. And God put in his heart, "Help Juan." And he would give me money once in a while in church. I wouldn't ask him. You know, he would just come up to me and he said, "Here, Juan, here's some $60, $70, here $100. I know you need them." You know, and he kind of got tight with me. And he calls me and he says, "Juan, look, I got a business proposition for you. I want to open a landscaping business in Florida. Landscaping business is all around, you know." So he tells me, "All you gotta do is you do the hard work. So you put labor, and I put the money, and we go 50-50 in any contract that comes in the company." And I said, "Okay, great." And God blessed us with the first contract of $1,000, $500 for him, $500 for me. And after that, we started getting contracts here and there and there and there and there. And that's how I earned my money to get Alexandra. Alexandra used to be a Catholic. She didn't know nothing about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, even though that she knew. One day she opened the Bible and she saw that the Bible said 7 day Sabbath, day of rest. So she recognized, I remember she tells me a story that she recognized that the day of the Lord was a 7 day. And she said, her and her sister were looking at the Bible and said, why are the people going to church on Sunday? Why they show us that? So now she meets me. I start getting involved in the prophecies in the Bible because I like to get involved in the prophecies. And I started speaking to her about the Sabbath day of the week. And she accepted it. So now I call her up. I tell her, Alexandra, look, I'm working in Walmart. I got the business working. You know, I would like you to come down here. I'll pay you for the ticket. I'll pay the ticket for you so you could come. And I went and I bought her a ring. You know, in my heart, she was my girl. In her heart, it was a whole different story. She was like, I was a friend. Remember, she gave me the boot. So I went and I bought her a ring and I said, you know, I knew, I told God, God, you know, I'm going to marry this woman if it's your will. And I bought her a ring and she came. And I remember when I told her, Alexander, everything that I have here in the apartment it was given to me. I can imagine in her mind what she would thought, you know, like, yeah, them a whole bunch of junk in there that you must have, huh? And I remember when she went in there, when I opened the door and she saw the apartment, she was like, I didn't believe that everything was given to me because everything looked like new. Now, she comes, right? Friend gives me the associate, I'm his partner in the business. And we had a pickup that we used to use. It was his pickup. It was a 1997 GMC pickup. It was his. He bought it brand new. And he had it in good condition, man. It was a nice truck. And that's the pickup that I'm using. For the business. One day, he's a son of a pastor. And he comes up to me and he tells me, Juan, I think that you should leave. He's like, yeah, I don't think that this is what God has for you. I think God has something else for you. He put that in my heart to tell you. I said, what about the business? I said, he told me, you know, what God has for you is going to be better than this business. So just believe me, just go with the flow. Think about it. So I thought about it, got a little confused, but prayed, and I went to my job, to Walmart, and playing around with a friend of mine, partner, I told him, look, I'm selling a TV. Oh, yeah, for real, yeah, let me go check it out. And, he went to the house, and he saw the TV, and he said, you know what? What else you selling? And I said, well, I'll sell you sofas, you know. And I wasn't really meaning it. It just happened. It just happened, you know. And I said, well, I'll sell you everything. He said, well, let me go. I got the money right here. And he gave me, he said, how much you want for it? And all of a sudden, a number came up to my mind, 700. Give it to him, tell him you're going to give it to him in 700. And I said, I'll give it to you in 700. And he took the money out right there, and he gave me the money. And I was like, not knowing, I sold everything in my apartment. It was like, wow, you know, I sold everything. So I go up to, I said, wow, I'm going to have to leave then, right? But I was still confused because God has prospered me over there in Florida. And I'm like, I didn't understand why he was telling me to leave. See, sometimes we need to understand and learn when God is talking to us. Because sometimes he'll talk to you, and it'll seem like, it's confusing, but it's him talking to you. And sometimes you got to know how to recognize his voice. After that experience, now when I hear some things like that, I'll pray and I'll say, God, you know, is it you? Give me some other signs. So that's what I did. I asked him for more signs. That I remember in Florida, I asked for more signs. And I went up to Eddie, I told Eddie, look, I sold my furniture. I don't know if I'm going or leaving or I'm staying. I don't know. I know I sold my furniture. He said, okay, I'm gonna give you a gift. So he comes up to me with the title of that truck and he tells me, look, this is for you, Juan. I'm gonna give you this truck. If you wanna keep it and take it down there, you wanna drive it, it's on you. If you wanna sell it, I'll take it to a place that they could give you $2,000 right now. So I'm like, wow. I thought 700. 2,700. If I do go to Connecticut, I have $2,700 to start. So I said, let's go sell it. We sell it, and he gave me the money right there. He gave me a gift of $2,000. You know, Who did this? Was it him? No, praise the Lord. It was God. God touched his heart. You see, that's what God does. I sold the little Nissan that I had. I sold it in $300. So I had $3,000 in less than... He told me this on Monday, and on Wednesday, I had $3,000. You see, on Monday, I was dead broke. On Monday, I didn't have a penny. On Wednesday, I had $3,000. So I tell Alexandra, I want you to call American Airlines and find out how much is the ticket to New York. So she does that. She finds out, and she tells me the price. And I said, okay. So I said, we'll buy it over there. When we get over there, we'll buy it by cash. So we go to the airport, and I remember the guy that picked up the luggage, he comes at me, and he comes at her, and he tells me, can you give us your ID? And he took my luggage, and he took my ID inside, and he came back out with two tickets. And he tells me, have a good flight. So I took the tickets. I gave the other one to Alexandra. We walked to the gate, and as we were walking to the gate, it kind of flicked to my mind. I'm like, you know, okay, who paid for these tickets? So I asked Alexandra, you paid for these tickets? And she tells me, no, you didn't pay for it. And I said, no, I didn't pay for it. You don't have a credit card or something like that? She said, no, I didn't pay nothing with no credit card. If you didn't pay for it, I didn't pay for it. And I said, how come it has our names? I don't know how it has them. I don't know what happened to American Airlines. I think that maybe when she called, they asked her for our names. She didn't make no reservations, but they asked you for your names. And I guess maybe they messed up in the computer. But I don't give the credit to no computer. I give the credit to the Lord. I understood right there. The guy was letting me know, you know, you got to go. And now that I look back, there's no doubt about it. My mother was not a Seventh-day Adventist. My mother used to belong to a church, like a Pentecostal church. And when I got to her house, I lasted there 6 months. And even though I had the money for a down deposit, and I had found a job in less than 2 weeks, I found the job that I have now. I had a good job. I had the deposit. I couldn't find an apartment. And I would, you know, what's the problem? God, I would get with God. I would like, God, what's in conversation with him? Why can't I? You took me out of Florida for what reason? To keep me here in my mother's house with my wife, sleeping right here in the floor? You know, what's the deal, you know? The deal was that during those 6 months that I was in my mother's house, God was using me to speak the gospel to my mother. And my mother became a Seventh-day Adventist. She baptized her. She baptized. My wife got baptized through Amazing Facts. And my stepfather got baptized. Three people got baptized over this little thing right here. See, God has everything under control. All you got to do is let him flow. Let him work. Let him use you, you know? Let him use you. My wife just graduated from college, and I'm going to college myself. I'm staying here in Lancaster, Massachusetts, to take theology, or either I'm going to Puerto Rico. Either both. It's just wherever God wants me, I'll go. And my job right now, I only got an eighth grade. Remember when I told you that God is going to lift illiterates? He says it in the book, Events of the Last Days. Helen G. White said that God's going to lift illiterate men to speak the gospel. And, you know, I'm going around the country, and that's what I'm doing. I'm illiterate, you know. I only have an eighth grade. I don't have a full degree. So that's the power of God. The prophecies are being fulfilled because God is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And we need to test God. We need to test God, and we need to trust God more. How are you going to trust God more? Spending time with him every day. Every day, spending time with him in prayer, spending time with him in reading the Bible, spending time in speaking the gospel to others. When you speak, you learn yourself. You know? That's the truth. This helps me the same way it's helping you. Trusting God. I went to Honduras, and they asked me to go to Honduras, and like I said, you know, right now I make $20 an hour in my job. For a guy that don't got no education, it's great. You know, yeah, if you went to school or college and you're making $20, it's nothing. But for me, that I didn't go to school, I'm from a project. I'm a thug, you know, considered for a lot of people. making $20 an hour was in a company, that's a lot of money. You know? It's good money for me. And I went to Honduras, and I said, I knew it was almost $2,000 that I wanna come in, that income that was not coming into the house. And I said, I'm going to Honduras. I'm gonna give my time to God. And let me tell you something, God has blessed me, and he keep on blessing me. You know, every day I test God. They invited me. I just came from Honduras. We went to Honduras about two months ago, in February. Last week, I just came from Puerto Rico. I went over there, and I went for another week. I went away from another week. That's another check that I lost in my job. But, you know, I might be losing money, but I'm gaining with the Lord, and that's what counts. In Puerto Rico, this girl got baptized, all because a seed that God put in my mouth, and I shared it, and she got baptized. In Honduras, three people got baptized, right? And more got baptized. When we left, more got baptized. But we got the privilege to see three people get baptized. You see, we need to test God. We need to believe in God. Believe in the word of God. God's not going to let you down. There's going to come days that we are not going to have no jobs, and there's going to become days that we're not going to have the power that we have now. And we just have to just believe in God to feed us and to bring us, to give us the needs that we need. And we need to start believing in God now. It's now when we need to start trying God and testing God. Elijah was in the wilderness, and who feed him? The angels. Birds, right? Came to him and brought him meat and everything, right? You know, we need to start testing God and believing in God, because there's going to come times, and we're almost around the corner. There's going to come times that we're going to have to just depend on the Lord and everything. Now it's easy. Now we believe that, oh, yeah, I got it under control, but there's going to be times, tough times. So if you start believing and you start testing God, not only with your money, and not only with your money, your time, the time that you dedicate to take the word to the streets, to take it to do evangelism, to do missionary work. The time that you give in the Lord is really important. That's going to make you confident in how to believe in the Lord. I hope that that my testimony will help you in something. I don't know. God knows everything, right? He knows your heart, and he knows what you need. And I hope that that my testimony had touched you and helped you and any detail of your life. And that you can see that I'm just a young man that came out of projects, you know, and I'm working for the Lord with a passion, you know. And if God could transform me the same way he transformed Saul to and made him to Paul, the same way he transformed the disciples, that same God is the same God still today. And what he did in my life, he could do it in your life too. He could do bigger things. Just believe. You know, we have an enemy, right, that's right there fighting against us. We got a giant in front of us that don't want us to make it up there to heaven. You need to start believing. Believe and talk back to him. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. If you got any problems in your life, and you're starting to lack of faith in your life, you need to rebuke Satan. Rebuke him. King David, when Goliath got in front of him, he didn't stay with his mouth shut. Have you noticed that? You know, Goliath was right there in front of him, and he was cursing him out and everything, and King David was not intimidated. He cursed him back out. He said, I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to give it to the birds. You know, you need to start speaking back, rebuking the enemy. You know, he's trying to mess with your faith, and he's trying to make you believe that God is not there for you, but God is there for you all the time. God is there for you all the time. You got to believe in God, have faith in God, trust him, share time, spend time with him. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you're going to trust him. And when tough times comes around, you'll know that he got your back. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity you gave me to be here. It was a privilege for me, and I hope that I can see you soon. If not here, in heaven. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.